Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 9th of January. We're in the 29th verse of 1 Corinthians 15. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead do not rise at all, why then are they baptized for the dead? A couple of things need to be brought out in this verse before we can dig very deep, and that is that we start at an odd spot. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? Because obviously we're in the middle of a thought. And of course that thought is Paul's defense of the resurrection. Remember, this started as a defense of Christ being resurrected. Christ is resurrected all the way back to verse 4. I think sometimes when we talk about the resurrection reality as presented by Paul, we forget that, and when we focus on 1 Corinthians 15, I mean, it seems as if we forget that the argument was not to try and prove to his audience that they were going to raise from the dead. His argument was to try to prove to his audience that Christ had raised from the dead. You might say that's an odd argument to make to other believers if you're not trying to do something greater with it. I think he is trying to do something greater with it. We're just not there yet. I don't think Paul's ultimate aim with the 15th chapter is to convince the Corinthians that they're going to live again. I think, and I keep emphasizing I think Paul's aim with the 15th chapter is not only to not convince them they're going to live again, it's also not to convince them Christ lives. It's to convince them that they should be living a reflection of resurrection now. We're on the way to that. By the time we get to the 49th verse, I think we can make a strong case that that's at least part of Paul's argument. I'm not trying to insinuate that it's all of his argument, and what do we know? We don't know for sure what the arguments are, but we do know that Paul believed in resurrection. Paul believed in a resurrection that represented a new creation. And I think we can fairly well prove before we get out of this chapter that Paul believed that that resurrection was something you participate in now. That's not to take away the very strong possibility, based upon 1 Corinthians 15, that physical resurrection is his argument for the Corinthian church. However, that argument doesn't seem to be primary because it doesn't move, it doesn't help them contextually with the stuff they're going through. The stuff they're going through could be eradicated if they started to live the resurrection now. And to me, that helps support the argument that Christianity is more than a religion that focuses itself on what happens when you die. It is a faith that focuses itself on what happens when you finally start to live. I think that's a better way to define Christianity. For most of us, certainly for me, but I think for most of us, Christianity was presented as an escape, not just from the planet, but a ticket to not go to hell. Jesus was a personal Lord and Savior that you accepted so that you could have an eternity. That certainly has its utility, and he's definitely personal. But it doesn't seem to be the fulcrum on which the faith of the New Testament rested, was you having a personal relationship, but more living the life of God on the earth, manifested in what Jesus called the kingdom and what the early church called the kingdom. And so it seems that resurrection, that otherwise, is pointing backward to a resurrection, and so it's good for us to point backward as well. back to 29. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead? Here's the other thing that we need to point out in this verse. Paul doesn't argue for or against baptizing people for the dead. It's a practice that I don't know in evangelical circles especially. I don't know of anyone that does this. I don't know of a denomination that uses or believes that when someone dies, someone living can be baptized on their behalf. For most of the Christianity that I came up in, that would have been considered a waste and anathema. In fact, not only would it have been considered a waste, I remember very plainly hearing it said when someone would die and you would hear someone in the media or just on the street, whatever, would say something like, well, I'm praying for them. I distinctly remember hearing, well, that's not going to do any good now. They're already dead. So it just kind of shows you that the Christianity, as I've known it, we don't have really anything to say about what to do once someone has died. Paul isn't making the argument that you should baptize for the dead. Paul is acknowledging that people do baptize for the dead. And his argument is neither pro nor con, not do it or don't do it. His argument is, why would anyone do it if they didn't believe that there was something that happens beyond the grave? And this is a reason why, this is another reason why in this chapter, I think Paul might be talking about more than merely physical resurrection. Because his argument is, why baptize for the dead if the dead don't rise? Or you could say, why baptize for the dead if they're just dead anyway? And again, not pro or con in either doing or not doing this practice, but acknowledging that the practice happens. Paul said, why would anybody do it if it did no good? Or if, no, let's not say it that way. Why would anybody do it if they didn't, if there wasn't some idea that people were going to live again somewhere? I think one of the basest human understandings, I don't think you have to be a Christian or a Jew to have this feeling. One of the basest human understandings is something out there is bigger than me, and when I die, it's not just over. I think it takes more faith in wrong things to believe that when you die it is over than it does to believe that when you die something happens and you go somewhere. And the reason I say it takes more is we have the heritage of humanity on our side. In every culture, people with no religious experience, you come into tribes in the middle of the jungle and there's a belief that people aren't done when they die. Why does that belief exist? And I think that's what Paul's tapping into with this question. Tomorrow we get into 30:31, where he stands in jeopardy every hour, or danger. We'll get to that tomorrow. See you then. God bless.